here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Michael here, DetroitLions.com. Special schedule release edition. Hello, Mike.
A special release edition.
That's right. We're going to get through the games. The schedule was released. And interesting Lions games this year. Interesting times. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as we're talking right now, this is the first time we've been together in a while, face-to-face. We're at the Jared Goff press conference for his signing. And let's just talk about that for a little bit, Mike. Jared Goff and his fiance were in here today. Just like any other Jared Goff press conference to me, but it had a little different feel to it to me. I don't know about you, but what were your impressions?
My impression was that he was sort of looked back on his life, you know, in a snapshot of it, and liked what he saw and appreciated how he got where he is right now. Now, there's more to come, more to go, and as he said, you know, things can change. He didn't use those words, but he looked like a man who was very, very, very faithful for what he's accomplished.
Yeah, I got a sense of calmness out of
him. Yeah.
And not like he was manic before, but it's just that, you know, when you finally achieve something that people doubted you on, and you don't want to just come right out and say, look, I told you so. But you have that look on your face like, I told you so. That's where I saw it. Because I think that, and let's face the fact, when he came here, he was discarded. You know, him and Carson Wentz's career paths were going to be the same. You know, discarded from their first team, and they were just going to be an afterthought in the league. But he rejuvenated his career here. And after the 3-13 and the 0 and whatever start of the next season, 6 or whatever, I never saw this day coming.
No, not then at all. I just, it looked like an entire offense that was just struggling to get anything done. They went, what, 0-8, was it?
0-6, 0-8, somewhere in there.
0-8 before, 0-8.
0-9 before the first season, right? 0-1. They had a tie.
It was 0-8, and they had a tie in there, and they ended up winning three games.
3-13-1, yeah. Right. And then 0-6 to start the next year, and it just looked like this isn't going to work.
But, you know, they had faith, you know, who really showed the faith in him, too, at the management ownership level was Sheila, you know, Sheila Hampton, the principal owner of the Detroit Lions. When they were, I think, 0-4, 0-5, she had a mini press conference out there after practice and said, I believe in what they're doing. I think it's going to work. I'm going to stick with them. And I thought that worked wonders for the entire group. You just could feel an exhale. You know,
well, let me ask you this question, Mike. Everybody knows that listens to the podcast. I wasn't the biggest Jared Goff guy. And I'm not going to like say I saw this coming all the time. But I'm going to refer to you on this. Talent-wise and everything off the field-wise and presence-wise, how does he compare to a championship quarterback that you've been, you know, you've seen over the years? And where is his attributes? What are his attributes?
Well, his attributes to me are that he has a belief in himself, I think. I think he's developed that. He didn't play to me like a guy who came into the league with that. Now, obviously, when you're drafted first overall, you've got a sense that they think you're pretty good. Well, in his first chance to start for the L.A. Rams, he was 0-7. Mm-hmm. So where's the belief there? But he stuck with it, and I think that look, in his third year, they're in the Super Bowl. Now, did they win it? No. There's always a loser in the Super Bowl. But you know, he got his team, you know, he's the quarterback to the Super Bowl. He had some more success, some success in the postseason after that. But there was clearly clearly a split between him and the coaching staff of the Rams. And like as you said, he was sent packing. The biggest part of that trade was finding a team that would take Jared Goff. It turned out to be the Detroit Lions.
Does he have the physical talent now to win a Super Bowl?
Yes. It's, you know, it's changed on quarterbacks. I remember when I was much younger, I was much younger at one time in my life, if quarterbacks ran, that was considered a weakness. Mm-hmm. Remember Randall Cunningham?
Yeah.
They called him Crandall Runningham.
Right.
The guy's a great athlete. Mm-hmm. I mean, absolutely great athlete. Second-round draft pick, probably would have been a first-round draft pick in this era. We're talking to a pocket passer, and no more, no less, and he's good at it. And one of the things you have to do in any sport, but especially playing quarterback, the toughest position to play in any team sport, you've got to find a way to do it, and he's found his way.
Is the most important attribute of a quarterback, forget all the other stuff, you know, running, don't forget it, but putting all those in, to throw an accurate pass?
Throw the ball.
Is that the main job of a quarterback?
Yeah, throw the ball. Look at all these guys who are runners, and outside of Mahomes, who's won anything?
Right.
Some guys are getting the playoffs, and all of a sudden they've got 2-3 interceptions and a fumble. And I'm not saying that they're not good quarterbacks, but it's not necessarily being able to run is going to win a Super Bowl for you.
Yeah. And I asked him during the press conference about his intent. Did he want to be one of those Brady, Aaron Rodgers, 40-year-old? Did he want to play a long time? He kind of laughed at me and said, I thought about it, but I don't have a good answer for you, but, yeah, I think about it.
And you know why you think about it? When would you stop thinking about it? When you're 40.
That's true.
Okay, and you know what? And the way the things are, the rules are getting even stricter on keeping heat off of the quarterback, keeping him from getting hit. We might have a 50-year-old quarterback one of these days.
Yeah.
You never know. And why not?
Yeah. If you, like you said, you can't barely touch a quarterback now.
Right.
And the guys get hurt. It's always on fluke plays they get hurt. It's not getting hurt by just getting drilled by the defensive lineman. It's, a hand to the helmet or somebody falls into a knee on a pass that they're not even around. So I think he can play. I've grown to like him. Right. That's the best I can say right now. I've grown to like him. I think I would like a more mobile guy.
I would too.
But it is what it is. And like I said, he throws a very catchable ball. And to me, quarterback is played 50-50, 50 from the head up and 50 from the neck down.
Yeah, at least, yeah. I'd agree with that. And he has that.
And the
other thing is, and this may have taken some while, because all of these guys came here together. They were new together. They wasn't like, it's not like Jared Goff was here for 8 years where he showed up with Amon-Ra, a rookie, and Penny Sewell, and all the other guys. They started, and the coaching staff, they all started this together.
Which means they brought no baggage.
Right.
You know, they can make their own crayon, they can make their own montage themselves.
I don't think Dan Campbell exactly thought that this was his type of quarterback. I think he mentioned often in press conferences that to this effect that this quarterback had to take over.
Yeah.
And he has.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you the telling sign, and I always say this, there are two big events that happened in the history of this movement. I call this the era, the Campbell era. Amon St. Brown catching that touchdown in Minnesota to stop the losing streak on, that last play of the game.
Yeah.
He caught it. Jared Goff, after he threw that pass, he ran right to Campbell and gave him a hug. And he not to the teammates, not to him.
Yeah.
He ran straight to the head coach.
Yeah.
And I said, from this point on, start marking everything down, because he has respect of his head coach enough to do that. And Amon St. Brown has the talent in the clutch to make that play.
That's one thing. Some of the things I've written about him, I've referred to him as the closer. He knows how to close out a game.
Yeah.
Keep it, how to close it out to win, or to keep it won.
Yep. All right, Mike, let's get into the schedule. We did our Jared Goff thing, and we'll talk about that more as camp comes on. But the schedule release time, I got it out here.
Hold on. Is the schedule release really a big deal, or is it just
TV. It's made for TV. But you know what? This is the day where everybody in every NFL city can go win-loss down the line and think their team is either the greatest thing ever or looking for the next draft game. Or they screwed us up.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, how did Jets get 6 national TV games? I'm sorry. I'm not going for that at all. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers came back from Mount Vesuvius or whatever. How the hell did they get 6 games?
Well, they added another player to their offensive line, of course. That's the missing element.
Okay. It's a couple of teams that I've just had it with. The Dallas Cowboys and the Jets. I've just had it.
The infatuation with the Dallas Cowboys is much higher, much greater than it is with the Jets,
right,
my opinion.
Now, the schedule guys played a cruel trick on the Lions to me. I don't think the schedule is bad. I would like to see them have a bye week later than the 5th week, which they have. That's fine. That's okay.
So that's after 4 games, correct?
After the 4th game.
Right.
Okay, a little early, but fine. I don't like that they play the Rams first and Tampa Bay second. It's the exact playoff route again, and you got them the first 2 weeks at home.
You know what? That didn't even register with me until you just said it. And you know what? Probably is why, because I don't spend an awful lot of time studying the studying this stuff. I really don't. I
never isn't that amazing that you're going to play the two playoff teams back to back the same way?
That's amazing.
And if I remember correctly, didn't the Rams-Lions playoff game, wasn't that a Sunday night? I know it was a night. It was Saturday night or Sunday night. I can't remember.
I think it was a 4 o'clock game.
That was a night. That was the free. Sure? Yeah, that was when I walked back to the parking lot at 12 midnight freezing. But anyway, so they play those two, which is fine. You get them out the way early. Homie, this is the first time. I got to go back and remember. When did the Lions started with two home games? I'm sure you guys
I'm sure they have. But
it's rare that, you know, usually they start on the road or they'll have a home game and then go on the road. But two home games, they should be able to take care of those two.
Well, and the Rams, that game is it's the night game. It's Sunday night football. Yeah.
Which is a prize for you being good, because all the teams that finished in the Final Four last year got primetime games the first week.
Well, in the past, the Lions would get one primetime game, but it would be week two or week three, and then get them out of the way.
And then Thanksgiving, you see them again.
Yeah, and get them out of the way.
No, they're a draw.
Not anymore. Now they're a big draw.
Note of caution. After the Lions had that Dallas playoff year where they played the Cowboys, remember they got a bunch of games that next year and were terrible. They start 1-7 the next year.
Well,
they played Denver and they played Arizona and Matthew got benched in the game. I mean, it didn't start good that next year. So you got to be careful.
Which one?
The year 2014 where we went to the playoffs and then they lost to Dallas. Remember the next year they got a bunch of primetime games and were terrible.
They were 4-4 at the halfway mark and lost the last 8 games.
Yeah. Just bad. So you got to be careful with this. And don't, you know, I don't think this team is going to get too high or too low. So
we got better players, though.
Way better players. This is one of the deepest rosters this year. Like I said, I don't know which one better players. Is this a, well, we'll get to that later about roster deep. But let's go through the schedule again. They have a game. Are you holding your hand up? You want to say something? Go ahead.
So do you want me to start with the 1983 Lions, or should we just?
Well, I'm just going to go back to that later and say teams that had deep rosters. We'll get to that by the end of this, but I want to get the schedule out the way. They got a Monday Night Football game in the fourth week against the Seattle Seahawks right before the bye.
Yeah, that's two in the first, two prime games.
How many times are we going to play the Seahawks at home? This is, what, the fourth straight year?
Maybe, you know what?
I mean, why don't you just put them in the division?
Maybe they like being in Detroit.
I guess, but they got to win one of these now. Seattle's owned them the last, you know, 3 games.
Well, and more than that, I mean, go back some of the other games, too, the playoffs and all that.
I think the last time I remember them beating Seattle at home was Titus Young caught that pass at the end of the game that year. That's been a while. Remember that one where Titus Young caught the end of the game?
Oh, yeah,
Poor Titus Young. New coach this year, though.
Yeah.
So this may be a little different. Pete Carroll era is over. They got Mike McDonald, old Michigan defensive coordinator, and Baltimore coach. So that might be a little different. Then they go to the bye. And I didn't even count the Arizona Cardinals game, that third game, because, you know, that's just
But Arizona. It's at Arizona.
Which is always.
I think the Lions have done pretty well against
the Cardinals. Except for Bobby Ross going for two from years ago, which I'll never forget. Another one of the great Lion debacles of all time. Then they come back against the Cowboys. I think playing the Cowboys early is good, because I think the Cowboys are going to be better later than early. They got a new offensive line. They got a lot of things they're bringing in. Getting them early, to me, is good.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of a strange relationship the fans and the media have with the Cowboys. You know, we downplay them, but they win 12 games every year. You know, so are they good? Are they bad? Or are they just not good when they get to the playoffs?
I think they're just a talented team that goes wayward. And I think being a Dallas Cowboy has now become better than actual playing as a Dallas Cowboy. Yeah. You know, the aura of Dallas Cowboy. Yeah. But with the talent they have, they should be much, and especially do better in the playoffs. So we'll see how that works.
I'm more worried about the referees in that game than I am about.
Yeah, well, I hope during that game they let Skipper catch a pass. They got to make him eligible.
Right.
All right, then you got two games at the Vikings and then Tennessee Titans at home. To me, Tennessee is the worst team on the schedule as of right now.
The way we're starting out, yes.
Yeah, the way we're starting out. Things change. I'm just saying, as we start now. So that's the easiest game on the schedule to me. So those two games are going to be interesting. I don't know what the Vikings are going to be. No telling. They've got talent. Quarterback, we don't know, and all that. So
I don't know if they've got running back talent like they used to have.
Well, they got Aaron Jones from
Green Bay. Oh, that's right.
I don't know what he's got left, but.
That's right.
You know. Then you got Green Bay. That's the first game. I'm glad they're playing Green Bay the two times later in the year, too, because to me, those are going to be the games that determine who wins the division.
Well, listen, they played them, the second game of the season last year or the third game?
Early on Thursday night last year, and then they played them at Thanksgiving. So the Green Bay game, then he go to Houston on the Sunday night football game. That's a game I want to see. That's a game I want to see. Two young teams together. I think Houston, they're giving them a little too much props. Everybody think, if you look back, if you talk about the way they talk about Houston now and Stroud and whatever, you thought they were like, they won 10, 11 games last year. No, they were 9-8. Yeah, they were 9-8. So step back a little bit. Then we got Jacksonville. Mike, you like them better than I do.
I like them better, but I don't like them to win.
I think Trevor Lawrence, as talented as he is, I don't think he's going to make it. I just think he doesn't really like the game. And somebody said that about him. He said they were one of those guys wondering would he retire after the first contract or whatever, because they don't think he loves it. And I just, with the talent he has, they should be much better.
Do you know who was like that here in Detroit?
Who?
Joey Harrington. I talked to him one time, and he said, I'm not going to be one of those guys who has a long career.
Yeah, well, we saw.
And you know what? Yeah. He was right.
Maybe he was watching his film when he said that.
He was right.
And I love Joey.
Me too.
Then you got at Indy. Will Richardson be there by that game? And I don't know which way to go with Indy. Are they a good team or are they a middle of the road team?
Well, I don't think that. I think that's a game the Lions should win.
Right. Then we come home for Thanksgiving. I told you before I thought it would either be the Bills or the Bears, and it was the Bears. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I like that. This is one of the games I'm looking forward to because it's going to be a little bit different football than you see. It's going to be tough and hit and you know, and I like that. I do that. Because they're going to play each other twice in a 4-week span, and I think you're going to see some tough old time football.
Yeah. And then they come back the next week, Thursday. They go from Thursday of Thanksgiving to Thursday night football again at 4. I don't know how many games. I'm going to count this after we finish. I mean, actually, 1 o'clock games at 4 field this year. But they're playing the Packers on Thursday night football a week later. That's going to be a big game. Yeah. That's going to be a big game.
Yeah, I'm not as sold on the Packers being the next great.
Me neither. But I think they're going to be good.
I think they'll be good. I think they'll be a 10-wins, you know, 10-win team.
Yeah, 9-10 win team.
Plus or minus.
Right, 9-10 win team. It depends on 10 wins if the Bears aren't good. But if the Bears are good, I can see that being a 9-win team because the Bears will steal one from them or whatever. It depends on the rest of the teams.
If their great young quarterback couldn't win at Southern Cal, why is he going to win with the Bears? Why is he just going to come in and win and smoke
it? You can't be crying in mama's arms on the thing that either.
I don't know.
Plus, he's got a year. I don't like them appointing him the starter that fast either before the first mini camp.
I like the guy they had who's now with Pittsburgh. You know, I like
Justin Fields.
I like him. I just genuinely like him. I don't know him, but I've a lot of interviews and all that right. I've gone through, and I like him. Right. I really do.
Even though the team knew he was going to start or we're going to push him to start, is that good to announce him before, like the coach has come out and say he's the starter before you even go on the field? Don't other players like take offense to that?
I don't think they take a. I think they kind of. It's sort of prove it to us now. Prove it to us now. Mm-hmm. They gave it to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some guy who's a second string offensive lineman in there. We're going, hey, what about me? Yeah. Declare me a starter.
Yeah. Okay, and after that, then we got the Bills at home. So that's 3 straight home. I'm just looking at this. 3 straight home games. That should be no matter who you're playing, that should be a strength of the schedule. So you're home pretty much from Thanksgiving to the second week of December, even though you're playing the Bills, Packers, and Bears. That's a good home stretch there.
Well, the Bills might be the best team of the group when we get to that stage.
I don't know where to go with the Bills because they lost Stephon Diggs and they lost a lot of players. They had to give up for salary cap.
Right.
They still got Josh Allen.
Right.
Where are they going to be by that time? So I'd say they'll be good, but I don't know how good, so we'll have to see. Because I think the Bills' window is gone. Just like I think the 49ers window is passed. And we'll talk about that.
Really?
I think the 49ers window these last 4 or 5 years where they had 2 chances to win the Super Bowl and didn't do it, I think that window's gone. I think that window is gone. Then you go to Chicago, week 16. That's the only cold game. If you want to count the Green Bay game, November 3rd as being cold.
We'll see.
It's not.
We'll see.
November Green Bay is like summertime anywhere. That's not. But that Chicago game is the only game that it possibly could be cold. That's December 22nd in Chicago, week before Christmas. That's not bad because, you have to go to Green Bay in January or Chicago in January. So that's the only cool game. And then you come back after that, Monday Night Football, San Francisco, Detroit, week 17.
Levi's Stadium.
I don't know. I don't like that. I wish they had played that game earlier in the year. I don't want to wait that late for that rematch. I wanted that rematch in the first half of the year.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, because by that time, the great, the good teams will be already known, and they might not be that 1-2 by then.
Right? Yeah. Look, who says that they're both going to be that 12 and 13 wins?
So, and then finally they come back again, Minnesota at home for the second straight year. This is weird because I've never seen them have the same team to end the season back to back.
Were the Vikings the last?
Yeah, remember they played the Vikings the last game this last year. So they did it. They back to back home against the Vikings.
Well, but that was a different. They did not have a quarterback. We can't rate what they did.
No, I'm just saying though. Usually they don't put the same team the last game every year. You know, usually it's another team in the division. But they come home against Minnesota again. It won't be Nick Mullins out there. Trust me.
The thing about it, I don't like if I'm the Lions. The thing I'd be worried about is that you're playing at San Francisco, a night game on Monday. Then you got to come back to Detroit. Exactly. It's really five days between games.
Yeah. So hopefully you have everything clinched where it won't matter coming back home for that last game. Because really, but this is again, last year everybody cried about playing the starters the last game. Why'd you do it? Why'd you need to win? You're already in the playoffs. They played the starters.
All right.
They won their 12th game.
All right.
But the tight end got hurt. So there's the throwaway in there. Even though he played the
next
week.
But he came back and played.
He played, but I'm just saying, so we might have another little situation where are we going to play the starters? Maybe that's the Hendon Hooker classic where he finally gets a game to start at the end of the year. Don't put that mic down. Don't put that mic down.
You know what? I want to see Hendon Hooker too.
No.
But not.
After what we went through today, he's your backup.
Yeah.
You're going to need a backup sometime in the next 3 or 4 years.
Right.
He's your backup for. You see what they're paying, like the Marcus Mariotas and the Carson Wentzes for backup. They're paying $7 to $8 million for backups now. You got a control backup for the next 4 years on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
Just be thankful. If you need him, you need him. If you don't, fine. And maybe one of these years he plays good in exhibition season. Team might want him a couple years from now. You trade him out.
Right, and that's at a pretty basic rate that you're paying him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So be glad you got him. So I'm happy with that. All right, Mike, that's the schedule. Give me your outlook on the schedule, what you think about it, and let's get the number. Let's do the number of the wins here. Let's get it out the way now.
Well, let me pat myself on the back here, okay? 2 years ago, I picked the Lions to go 9-8.
Mm-hmm.
They went 9-8.
Yes.
Last year, I picked them to go 10-7 and win the division.
Mm-hmm.
They went 12-15, won the division. So I underrated them last year, I think. I think they'll be a better team, better, stronger roster in 2024 than they were in 2023, but I don't think they'll win 12 games again.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll be 11-6. Is that right? Or it's 11-7. 11-6 and win the division again.
All right. I'm jumping out there. I'm jumping out there. Fee 4. You ready for this?
Oh, boy.
13-4. And I'm jumping. I know I shouldn't do it. But these predictions of health remains good.
Yeah.
Because once a major player goes down, that changes everything.
You know, one thing, I mean, you're the one who clued me to this that I didn't even really think. They're playing 9 home games this year.
9 home games. That's what I said. That's why I'm giving them that 13th win.
Right.
Because they won 12 games last year playing only 8 home games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they really shouldn't have. Well, that
the Dallas game is. I'm never going to get over it. Yeah, okay. Right. Never.
That should have been a 13th win. I'm going to tell you another thing, too. They better win Thanksgiving. They haven't won a Thanksgiving game in, what, 5-6 years now? Come on.
Yeah.
Let's stop that.
Yeah.
Chicago, put that. Mark an X by that game. Because I remember, Mike, that was the most. People were mad for a week after that, even though they still had a good record at that time.
Yeah.
You got to win that game.
I'm with you.
All right, so there you go. All right, Mike, so good look out here. Any last words or requests? Oh, the thing I want to ask you before we get out of here. Lions, talent level now. Does it compare with any of the teams in the last 20 years? The level of team talent to any other team the Lions have faced, or is it the best talented roster so far that you've seen?
Well, I'm going to go way back on this. I hope this makes sense to you, but I think it will. One of the most talented teams by the end of the season that I've covered was the 1983 Detroit Lions. What didn't they have? Quarterback.
Right.
Their starting quarterback got hurt. What was his name?
Gary Danielson.
Gary Danielson, took over for the playoff game. 5 interceptions. And yet, to this day, everybody still blames the quarterback for missing
and the field goal. They still had a chance to win that game.
Right.
And missed the field goal, right?
Missed the field goal game. Yeah.
So that was the most talented roster.
That's one of them. That's one of them.
How does this roster compare to that roster? Is it more talented?
It's got a chance to be, yeah.
Okay. Really That's awesome. What I wanted to know. I can't think of a more talented
Barry
roster.
Sanders.
The 91 roster wasn't Billy Sims?
Billy Sims, just an absolute. I don't think people realize how good he was.
No, they know. But it's just that we're preachers of the moment.
Yeah.
They know.
Okay.
And I think those rosters in my lifetime, and I don't go back. I'll go back around that time, the 80s, so the ones I remember. I think that 83 roster, I don't think that this roster, I think this roster is more deeper than that one.
Yeah.
But quarterback-wise.
Not even close.
This roster has the better quarterback than any of those other rosters.
And receivers, too. Well,
yeah. 91.
Counting the tight end, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just going back to 83. Yeah. 91, yeah, they were.
The 91 had receivers. Yeah. That team had receivers. Well, you know what, though? They probably did have better receivers now because, remember, Herman was a rookie on that one.
Right.
He only caught 7 or 10 balls first year.
Seven passes, but he played in the playoffs, scored a couple touchdowns.
Yeah, so this roster might have better receivers. So they can go.
Herman, wherever you are, as you know this, the most underrated player in Lions history.
I don't think he's underrated. I think he's rated. I just think he should be looked at higher.
I think he's underrated.
Nationally.
Nationally and in Detroit, too.
You think he's underrated locally?
Yeah, I really do. I don't know. It's just other players have come along and kind of took the...
Okay. Well, Herman, we singing your praises.
Yes, we are. Underrated.
There you go. All right, well, that's Ken Brown, WGI Radio, Michael here, DetroitLions.com. Go to the web and listen to Brad Holmes' interview from yesterday, which is Wednesday on WGR. It's some fascinating stuff Brad Holmes said. So go listen to that. It's on WGR.com. Michael Hare, DetroitLions.com. Read him. He's been writing last night, so if something's coming out, make sure you read it. And WGR, Mitch Albom Show, we got Alex Anzalone every Monday starting this season. And I can't give you a little hint. We're going to have a second player every week. And I don't want to give the guy's name out right now, but just stay tuned. Big things are coming.
I'm not a player.
We're going to have another player, so join us there. All right, well, that's it for this week. Talk to you next week from the K&M Podcast.